Chronicles of the Order, a short story anthology set in the world of Geist.
The Price of Pain by Valerie Griswold Ford. Something is not right here. Cassia Mallory sat on the edge of her cot and looked over at her active, her hazel eyes troubled. Iris Lassiter looked back at her from where she leaned against the doorframe, one hand playing idly with the top of the gauntlet stuck through her belt. "It's an insane asylum," she pointed out dryly. "I'd be surprised if there wasn't something wrong." "No, it's not that." Cassia shook her head, her short brown curls bouncing around her face. "It's..." Her voice trailed off, and she held both hands out in frustration. "I can't explain." "Is it a geist?" Iris asked. "That's the only question we were sent here to answer." All Cassia could do was shrug. "I don't know." Iris sighed. "Then we can't leave," she said and turned. "Lovely. I can't wait to spend a night with all the madmen screaming lullabies to me." "I'm sorry." Cassia didn't know why she was apologizing. Iris grunted and left, heading for her own bed and a night of doubtful sleep. Cassia sighed and swung her legs up onto her cot, settling back against the narrow pillows. At least they were out of the rain. Nothing had been what they'd expected. The assignment had been simple, deceptively so. Investigate the orphanage at Dungate for suspected geist activity. Except it wasn't an orphanage, but an insane asylum, run by a retired sensitive that made Cassia's teeth itch. Deacon Stephen Markham had been nothing but gracious, offering them rooms in the nurse's wing and opening every door for them. But something in his manner, in the shadowed gray eyes that followed their every move, made Cassia wonder just how much living with such madness had affected him. Then again, if what she had heard was true, he hadn't far to fall. Stephen Markham had delved deeply into the otherworld during his time as an active deacon, and there were rumors that his last active had died because she'd objected to his research. Cassia doubted it was true, but she couldn't stop wondering why he'd come here, out to the middle of nowhere, and surrounded himself by the mentally ill. Not that it was any of her business. Cassia shook her head and with an impatient sigh, blew out the candle next to her bed. Darkness filled the small room, riding hard on the heels of the cold autumn rain pounding on the roof above her head. Cassia listened, not to the thrumming, but to the cries of the patients in the other building. The nurse's wing wasn't really part of the asylum. It was a small house nestled to the larger structure, but not even the thick walls of the main building could block out all the screen. She shivered, wondering how secure the cells really were. The bed was small but warm, like the bed she'd shared with her sisters back at home before she'd gone to the Priory. The entire area was familiar. Cassia had been born not 2 days' ride south of Dungate. "Although I don't remember anything about an asylum," she thought, the warmth of the bedclothes pulling her into sleep. "I wonder what this building was before." And then she slept. A touch, cool fingers on her cheek, brought her out of sleep. The fingers were gentle, exploring. Cassia shifted under their caress and sighed. "Go away," she mumbled. "It's not morning yet." "Cassie, help me, Cassie." Her eyes popped open. Only one person had ever called her Cassie. "Patrick?" She searched the darkened room with all her senses, wondering if she was still dreaming. "Patrick?" "It hurts. It hurts, Cassie." That voice was no dream. "Tell them to stop hurting me." Cassia sat up, the blankets falling away from her shoulders, her hands reaching out for the strop in its case on the small table next to her bed. "Patrick, what are you doing here?" His familiar face loomed out of the darkness, lit with a strange inner glow. "Make them stop hurting me," he whispered, and she shivered. "Why did you leave and let them hurt me?" "I had to leave," she said, even as she knew it wasn't him. Somehow, her younger brother had died, but he hadn't crossed over. Once she sent him into the other world, she was going to find out what he had been doing here. "But you were fine." "You left," the Ray sobbed, phantom tears running down the boy's pale cheeks. You left, and they took me, and they hurt me. Her fingers closed on the strop's case, and she drew it slowly to her. Who took you, Patrick? As she opened the case by feel, not taking her eyes from the Geist in front of her, Cassia also reached out mentally through the bond, hoping to wake Iris. The active always slept deeply, something she envied. They did. The venom in his voice startled her. Patrick had never been anything but a cheerful boy. What had happened? And you weren't there to protect me! His face twisted, distorted with sudden rage, and Cassia shrank back. Why didn't you come back to help me? I didn't know, she protested, and he hissed in rage. His pale lips pulled back, showing pointed teeth, and Cassia knew it wasn't a ray. This was a specter. Damn. Well, now we know there's a Geist problem here, she thought, and then dodged as he lunged for her. Iris! She screamed both verbally and psychically, hoping the echoes would wake her partner. Her attempt to dodge ended up dumping her out of the small bed, pillows and blankets flying up to obscure her landing. Feathers flew as the specter's claws shredded one pillow, and Cassia rolled towards what she hoped was the door. Iris! She screamed again, fumbling with her strap. Damn it, girl, where are you? Her door flew open even as she cursed, and hot air arrowed above her. Yet she identified the rune, even as she bound her strap in place and opened her senses even more. Cass! One gauntleted hand curled around her own fingers, and Iris hauled her to her feet. Get behind me! Now she could see where the specter was. Patrick hovered over the remains of the burning pillow, his lips drawn back from his razor-sharp teeth, hissing in rage and frustration. Cassia noticed a small black line around his neck, like a collar. It was flat against his skin, almost like a tattoo, but not quite. What could collar him now? Was it a holdover from when he was here earlier? She shivered, remembering some of the inmates they'd seen earlier. They, too, had been collared to keep them under control. Cass, Iris said, interrupting her thoughts. Pay attention! Her gauntlets glowed red again, and she loosed another blast of fire. Patrick snarled, ducked the flames, and then arrowed out of the window. As he disappeared, Iris cursed. Damn it, now we have to chase him. She turned and nearly ran over Cassia, who hadn't moved. Come on, Cass! No, wait a minute. As he turned, she'd seen the line trailing from behind him, a line of black string that snaked into the darkness, out of the window where he'd fled. What can leash a Geist? Iris stared at her. You lost your mind? I'm serious, Iris. There was something around his neck, some sort of line. Cassia's thoughts raced, combing through the years of classes and research. The only thing coming up made her sick to her stomach. Oh, hell. What? She swallowed and closed her eyes, knowing Iris couldn't see them behind her strap, but unable to look at her partner as she said, I think it's a Geist Lord. Iris's breath hissed in through her teeth. Impossible. I know what I saw, Iris, Cassia said, opening her eyes again. The room was awash with light to her enhanced senses, filtered through the strop, and she could see the mix of fear and anger in Iris's face. He was trailing a leash, and I don't know anything else that can control another Geist but a Geist Lord, do you? Just because I don't, and you don't, doesn't mean there isn't, Iris snapped. Come on, let's go find out. Get your cloak. Cassia let her go first out of the room, scooping up her cloak after only a moment's hesitation. She'd gone to bed in her clothes, just in case, but the rain was still pouring down, and there was no sense in getting soaked as they ran towards the other building. That had to be where the Geist had gone. Iris led the way, one gauntlet glowing red with Yiva, shielding both of them. The other was held ready, just in case they were jumped. Cassia could pull up a shield too, but she didn't. Every deacon could, theoretically, but the actives were better at it, built for it, and she knew it, so didn't waste the energy. They linked, so Iris could see what she was seeing, and headed down to the ground floor. Notice anything odd? Iris said, as they surveyed the sitting room the stairs emptied onto. Cassia looked around at the silent, empty room. Where is everyone? Exactly. Iris stepped into the room slowly. It's not like you were quiet. And listen, what do you hear? Rain, Cassia said after a moment. Only rain. Iris turned back to look at her. What happened to the screaming? That question, asked in a calm voice that Cassia envied, was punctuated by a clap of thunder. When it died, only the pounding of the rain on the roof of the cottage answered her. Where are the nurses? Cassia asked in turn, looking around. There were at least two heading upstairs when we went to bed. Don't like this, Iris said. Let's go over to the main hall. Maybe we should head out, get some others. Cassia felt a hole open in her stomach, fear gnawing its way through her. It's a Geist Lord. We can't go until we know, Iris told her, pulling up the hood of her own cloak. All we have right now is supposition and one Geist. If we go back now, we'll be laughed out of existence. Besides, what's to prevent Markham from pulling up and coming after us? Cassia had to concede the point. Let's just be careful then. I'm always careful. The laugh that accompanied Iris's comment made Cassia sigh. Nothing stirred in the empty courtyard. They dashed across, the rain pelting them with tiny fists. The large doors of the main building stood closed, solid and dark, but opened easily to Iris's boot. Not locked, she said. Not good. No. Cassia extended her senses again, looking for any sign of Patrick or other Geist. The silence that extended through the asylum worried her as much as the last lack of Geist activity. What had happened? Do you think he drugged them? Who, the inmates? Iris cocked her head to the side, considering. Maybe. Depends on what he's doing with them, and how far along his plans are. Maybe he just killed them. Cassia shuddered. Would he be that cold? Then Markham's gray eyes rose in her mind, chill and clinical, and she knew he would be. Anything for his research, whatever it was. Come on, she said, shoving Iris forward, this way. As she pointed, a shriek of pain echoed above their heads, followed by more, and they both ducked instinctively. An entire group of specters shot over them, speeding through a door and down a hall that she hadn't noticed earlier. Cassia looked up as they passed and frowned. Each specter wasn't going willingly. A black thread dragged them along. The screams weren't the inmates. They were the cries of Geist, chained to something that they fought, even as they were called to it. Now do you believe me? She hissed at Iris, grabbing her by the shoulder and pointing. Look at them! And as they watched, another group of Geist arrowed above them, heading down the same hall, all pulled along by those thin, black leashes. I see. Iris wrenched herself out of Cassia's grip. I see the leashes, but I don't see a Geist Lord yet. Let's go and find out what Markham's up to and then make our decision. And she strode off after the Geists. Idiot, Cassia swore to herself, then followed her active. We need help. Not yet we don't, Iris said. Now come on. The hall was dark, lit only by Cassia's sight and the steady stream of Geist being pulled in above them. The keening grew, a heartbreaking chorus of pain and fear, and her stomach clenched. What could a Geist fear? Something bigger than itself, she thought. Something like a Geist Lord. She was certain that was what waited for them at the end of the hallway that wound downwards in a counterclockwise spiral into the bowels of the hall. Once again, Cassia wondered what the huge building had been before Markham had come with his asylum. The hallway spilled abruptly into a large room, larger than she'd expected. Iris had stopped, but Cassia, lost in her thoughts, stumbled into her active before she could catch herself and knocked them both into the room. Thanks, Iris muttered, getting to her feet. Nice entrance. Cassia flushed as she rose to her feet as well. Sorry. Welcome, Deacon Lassiter, Deacon Mallory. Deacon Stephen Markham turned to them, a beatific smile on his thin, pale face, and Cassia saw his strap over his eyes. What made her blood run cold was the set of gauntlets on his hands. Where had he gotten those, and why was he using them? It took a very strong deacon to wield both the strap and the gauntlets, one equally trained as a sensitive and an active. Markham was a sensitive, like her. Something was very, very wrong here. She tore her eyes away from him and looked around the rest of the room. It wasn't a basement like she'd thought. It was a subterranean chapel, down to the pews. and each and every pew was filled with vacant-eyed inmates chained to their spots, drool dripping from their gaping mouths. From each inmate, Cassia could see a thin, black line trailing along the floor up behind the altar Markham stood in front of. Something that can leash humans as well as Geist? What is this? Maybe not a Geist Lord, Iris thought at her. Let's see what he has to say. He's as crazy as they are. Yes, the active agreed. But he's a lot more powerful than they are, so let's humor the man by listening to him before he decides to use those gauntlets he's wearing. Cassia shivered but held her tongue. Above them, the Geist spiraled, keening. The front pews held the missing nurses, but there were no chains holding them in place. They had turned as the two deacons had crashed through the door, their eyes bright with anticipation, and Cassia realized that most of them were possessed. Lovely. Just great. We can handle this, Cass, Iris said, sending a rush of confidence through their bond. Trust me, we can do this. What are you doing, Markham? She said out loud, her voice cutting through the eerie cries. Now, Deacon Lassiter, I think you know exactly what I'm doing. Markham's smile broadened. I'm furthering the research on Geists and how they interact with humans. Is that what you call this? Iris swept her free hand out, indicating the room. Research? You're as crazy as your inmates. What kind of research is this? Possession, Cassia whispered. No, Deacon Mallory. Symbiosis, Markham corrected her. The cohabitation of Geist and human for the betterment of both species. Geists aren't a species that belongs here, Iris said as Cassia blanched. Geists belong in the other world. What you're suggesting is heretical, Deacon. She spat out the honorific as if the taste of it sickened her. I suggest you take off your strap and whoever's gauntlets you stole and leave here with us. Now. Cooperation might make your sentencing a bit less harsh when the Order finds out what you've done here. Stole? Markham looked shocked. I stole nothing. She gave them to me with her dying breath. He looked over at the corner. Didn't you, my love? Following his eyes, Cassia gasped. Standing in the corner, tears streaming down her ghostly face, stood a deacon clad in her emerald cloak. This Geist, like all the others, had the same leash around her neck, but she did not scream. Her silent sobs chilled Cassia to the bone. What had he done? Do you know who that is? Iris asked her, and Cassia nodded. Deacon Alice Mackenzie, his last partner, she replied. She was killed in the incident that ended up with Markham retiring. He swore a Geist got her. Of course he did. Cassia felt Iris's rage surge along their bond. Damn him. We have to take him out, Cass. I know. There was no way they could leave, no way they could call for help. It was up to them. Can you see it? See what? Cassia looked back, not at Markham, but at the altar behind him. I was right. It's a Geist Lord. Follow the tether from Alice. The thin black line ran along the stone floor, pulsing slightly in her sight, up to an area of darkness right behind the altar. A man-shaped area that glowed cold. She wondered which Geist Lord's home they'd stumble across. Iris swore under her breath and Cassia nodded. We'll have to be smart about this, she thought. Destroy his focus and the Geist Lord won't be able to remain here. The big question is, when it's sucked back into the other world, will it drag all these other Geists with it? That would stand to reason if they're all linked in together, Iris said. But what is his focus? Can you find it? If you can distract him enough to give me time to look, yes. Cassia drew in a deep breath and activated Kevinar, looking for the Geist Lord's focus. We're lucky, we might even save these poor souls. That's the plan. Iris drew in a deep breath of her own and then said, So spill it, Markham. What exactly did you expect to accomplish with these nuts? You're so crude, Deacon Lassiter, Markham chided. These inmates have been most valuable to my work. How? By screaming? You understand so little about how the human mind works. The potential energy and the madness that infects these people assures that they will attract geists and provide the energy to keep them well-fed and happy. Cassius spared a glance at the circling geists. Funny, they don't look that happy. There is pleasure in pain and pleasure in service, Deacon Mallory. And what do they serve? Iris asked. Markham's voice deepened, smoothed, rich as leather. They serve me, of course. And that would be our geist lord, Cassia watched as the dark shadow swarmed over Markham, absorbing into the flesh of the former deacon. Does that mean Markham is the focus? Let's find out. Before she could stop her, Iris raised her free hand, her gauntlet glowing green as she unleashed the rune chased on Markham. The power drain slammed into him, and he snarled a command in a language Cassia didn't understand. Every nurse rose from their seats and rushed the two. Cassia had a pistol attached to her belt, but these were possessed individuals, people who had no idea what they were doing. She couldn't shoot them. Damn it! Iris frowned, trying to keep both Yeva and Chaste active at the same time. Cassia put her hand on Iris's shoulder, lending her strength even as she searched for proof that Markham was the focus. Yes, the Geist Lord was within him, but where was the focus? The nurses moved forward as a group, their eyes bright and hungry. Inch by inch, Iris and Cassia moved backwards, trying to get into the doorway. In the doorway, they could hold them off, at least until they figured out what else to do. Iris was even less inclined to hurt the possessed. They weren't in control and had no idea what they were doing. Then Markham shouted something else, and they surged forward, so quickly that they shoved both deacons back towards the wall. Cassia lost her footing, fell, and dragged Iris down with her. Her head struck the floor, and everything went dark. When she opened her eyes again, the first thing she saw was the circling geists. Her head throbbed, and when she tried to sit up, Cassia noticed her hands were bound with the same thick rope she'd seen on the inmates earlier. Her feet weren't tied, but where could she run to? She was lying next to the altar, she realized, and raised her hands up to grasp the heavy stone. The carvings were cool and pulsed in her touch, and she blinked. Could it be? Her fingertips wandered over the stone. Her strap had been removed, but she could still invoke Kebinar, and she did, watching the altar flare to life. The full import of the situation became horrifyingly clear. Markham wasn't the focus. The house was the focus. Iris, wake up! When the active didn't answer, Cassia dismissed Kebinar and used the altar to pull herself up to a sitting position, looking for her partner. Iris lay limp next to her, and Cassia frowned. Iris? The active didn't respond, but Markham turned. Good, you're awake. Cassia ignored him and leaned over Iris, searching for signs of life, even as her mind reached out to something that wasn't there anymore. Iris? Iris, wake up! You have to wake up! The pounding in her head couldn't disguise the feeling of emptiness. There was no one else there. She put her hands on Iris's head and felt something wet. Her flesh cringed away from the blood, and Cassia sobbed, No, please, wake up! She wasn't sure how long the hysteric lasted, but finally her tears slowed, then stopped, and Cassia looked up to see Markham looking at her. Are you finished? He asked, in that silky smooth voice that told him exactly who was talking. It's very difficult to try and talk to someone who's having hysterics. Pound sand. Cassia looked back down at Iris's still body. We have nothing to talk about. On the contrary, Deacon Mallory, we have much to discuss. He knelt down in front of her and, putting his hand on her chin, forced her to look at him. Cassia did nothing to disguise the hate in her eyes, noticing that her strap now hung on his belt. If you help me, I'll give this back to you. What, my partner? That's beyond even you, Geist Lord. She tossed her head, indicating where Deacon Alice's geist stood silently crying. Obviously. You are correct. His hand dropped down to caress her strap. But you can have this back. For what? My cooperation? Cassia spit at him. Go to hell. He stood up. Think on it, Deacon. I can offer you the world if you help me. Despite herself, she wanted to know what he wanted.
What can I do for you? You killed my partner. I'm just as sensitive like Markham. You're younger, stronger than he is, Markham said, striding over to the front of the altar. If you let me incorporate in you, we can use his powers and the powers of the geists I have gathered to break my ties here. Let me leave this hovel and go out into the world again. What are you talking about? Cassia felt a chill slide over her. This house is your focus. For now, Markham turned to look at her. But with your help, I could make a new focus. A portable one. Why didn't you do that in the first place? Cassia asked him and watched anger twist his features. I had very little choice when I made this focus, he said finally. Now, will you help me or not? Cassia pretended to consider it. Go to hell, she said after a moment and turned her back on him. So be it. I can do this without you. It will just take longer. He stomped away, leaving her with Iris's body. She looked at her partner's body, lying crumpled on the ground, blood congealing slowly under her smashed head. Cassia noticed that Iris still wore her gauntlet. Apparently Markham hadn't thought it necessary to remove them. She stole a glance under her eyelashes at him. He was over at the doorway, issuing orders to his nurses. Did she dare? Could she do what was necessary? Slowly, so as not to give away her intent, Cassia leaned over Iris, gently turning her head. The active's eyes were open, blazed with death and the horror of her untimely end. So sorry, Iris, Cassia whispered, closing the eyes gently. Wanted to get both of us home safely. Would have to be quick, and she'd only get one chance. Her cloak fell over as she leaned over Iris, and under its cover, Cassia slipped the gauntlets off her dead partner's hands. They were cold, colder than she'd expected, and she shivered. The rope was a bit of a hassle, but she concentrated, summoning Piet, and winced as smoke rose from the coarse braid. It burned through quickly, and she slipped the gauntlets on, wondering what price she would pay for such audacity. It will be worth it, she told herself, looking from under her eyelashes again at Markham, who hadn't noticed her movements. Whatever the cost, it will be worth it. She knew what she needed to do. The fire needed to be hot, hot enough to burn stone. At the same time, she needed to shield herself, making sure she didn't die until the fire had consumed everything. Her partner would have one hell of a funeral pyre. Cassia centered herself and summoned Kevinar one last time, looking to make certain where she wanted her fires to start. Then she flexed her fingers inside Iris's gauntlets and watched them start to glow red. It was time. Markham screamed as her flames hit him in the stomach, knocking him backwards. Cassia kept one stream of flame on him as she moved her other hand in a wide arc, channeling Piet's fires up into the rafters. She felt him trying to fight back at her, to distract her, but Iris's body against her leg reminded her of the price she'd already paid, and rage fed her, rage and pain, and the flames leapt higher, higher, higher. No! Markham howled, and she felt the tug of his mind against hers. His own gauntlets glowed, but she kept the flames pouring down on him. His followers moved forward and she showered them with fire, pushing them back. Not even Markham could force them forward. Her hands burned, her eyes clouded, but she never lost sight of Markham as he writhed on the floor, his flesh melting away. He screamed once more and fell silent as his body exploded into bright tongues of fire. The smoke was thick now as the ancient rafters above her succumbed to the flames. Cassia knew, deep within, that she needed to leave, that she needed to get out, but she had to make sure. Had to make sure there was no way the house could survive. She pulled herself to her feet, letting one gauntlet go out so she could grab Iris's body. Then she moved, foot by foot, towards the door, dragging the remains of her partner behind her. Cassia continued to spray about her with Piet, not so much to keep the inmates and nurses at bay, but to make sure the wooden beams around her were doused with her flames. The entire house had to go. Somehow, she made it up the tunnel and out into the courtyard. It was still raining, but the cold water did nothing to stop the burning of her skin. Her eyes ached with pain. The Geistlord had remained behind, but she could still see him. The house hadn't fallen yet, but it was falling. Cassia turned as his darkness, no longer encased in Markham's form, filled the doorway. It was time. She dropped Iris's still form and raised both gauntlets, triggering Tessia. The Geistlord, weakened as he was, howled and struggled against the winds that blew outward from the hole she punched in the other side. Cassia wavered, swaying as she strove to keep the hole open but not let anything else through. Her eyes, her sight, was failing, but she concentrated, pushing him through. The roof of the house, now fully engulfed, fell in with a crash, and with a final roar, the Geistlord lost his hold on the doorframe and was sucked through. It cost her more to close the hole, but she did it, eventually. And then she knelt, exhausted, blood and tears running down her face with the cold rain, and wept over her dead partner's body as the asylum fell upon itself and burned. 2 days later, she crested the hill towards the Alden Priory. She'd heard the bells earlier in the morning, but her vision was still darkened, and reaching out with the sight hurt too much. Cassia let her mare choose her path. The breed knew she was coming home and didn't need much encouragement. Iris's body, lashed clumsily to her own mare, followed her up the well-known road, and Cassia heard the gates open. "By the thousand little gods, Cassia, what happened?" She knew that voice. Paul, the lay brother who normally tended the gates. Lifting her head, she turned towards the sound of his voice, felt his hand on her leg. "Paul, I couldn't save them," she whispered, her voice hoarse with smoke and grief. "I couldn't save her." "Get her down." The command was snapped, and she felt hands helping her slide down from her mare's back. Her hood fell away, and a chorus of horrified gasps crashed around her. "I couldn't save them," she repeated, blood leaking down her cheeks from her ruined eye sockets. "I couldn't save them." And then she fainted.
Thanks for listening. Chronicles of the Order is copyright 2010, and all rights are reserved by the authors. If you want to find out more about Chronicles of the Order or the mass market paperback release of Geist from Ace Books, then please go to booksoftheorder.com.